Hey, this is Rob Baird from Cannibal Corpse, and you're listening to Larry and Mary Fish on Music City Metal. Crank it up!
Hey, this is Meditator, and you're listening to Music City Metal.
You are about to enter the Electric Fishbowl with DJ Fish. We are metal. We are family.
Music City Metal. Larry and I are here in the fishbowl, but the fishbowl's turned off, so hopefully we won't kill the fish in the amount of time we've been sitting here talking about what we want to talk about. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Mary. Coming up in this episode, we got some Fish Fest updates. I guess we're excited and kind of sassy each other. I think we've been around each other too much.
What?
I'm going to go fishing.
I will put you in that fishbowl. Yeah.
No, listen, actually, a lot of good stuff has happened. We're not going to announce everything tonight, but we're excited. At the time of this recording, Fish Fest is 30 days away.
Wow.
30 days away. It's September 22nd, first official day of fall. It's beautiful outside, 66, sunny, beautiful.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
The windows are open in the fishbowl.
They are.
Yes.
But you know what? We're really lucky, fortunate. Whatever word you want to use, that Fish Fest wasn't last week.
Yes, Miss Farmer's Almanac.
I read it. I'm just telling you what it said.
But you can't swear by it. It's a good idea to factor into the planning. But
yeah, it rained a lot in Nashville and Middle Tennessee last weekend. It's still raining. It's been like 5 days. So yeah, we're grateful to the... Well, they tried. They write a book every year. It must mean something.
No, that's right. No, you're right. It's been pretty close. I know you've been kind of watching it as what actually happened and what they predicted, and it's been close. But
it has.
Nonetheless, it looks good for October 22nd, 23rd at the Wilson County Fairgrounds, now the Tennessee State Fair. And coming up, we have I have a full interview I did with Rob Barrett that's going to be in the next segment and take up the rest of Fish Fest. But before
take up the rest of Fish Fest. What?
Take up the rest of this episode of Music City Metal.
I was gonna say, he's hogging the whole time.
Hey, I got good news. So I'm gonna make myself vulnerable. Mm. And I had a cystoscope the other day, and I have new respect for women that have given birth.
Mm.
Yes, that's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. I remember being rolled into the ER and they put a mask over my face and said, take a couple deep breaths. Next thing I know, I had a nurse waking me up. But a cystoscope is of the urethra. Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
But I got a call from the nurses today at Vandy and good news.
Good news.
Junk is at full level, free to resume normal activity.
Oh, God. I think I have a conference this weekend I have to go to.
That's all. That's whatever. That sucked. Yay. Let me tell you, that first night was terrible. Thank you for being patient. Terrible. But anyways, Fish Fest is looking good. Some really cool things have happened in the last few days that we are not going to announce yet, but this is what we have coming up. Later in this episode, we have a segment I did with Rob Barrett, which is really cool. He's talking about Fish Fest, and we go from everything about Buffalo Pizza to the old days of Buffalo bars to Cannibal Corpse and why they sing about violence and Fish Fest and all that. So enjoy that coming up later in the episode. Cool announcements to make next week, and we have Battery House Electric coming in. Yep. I like those guys a lot. Someone said, I just talked to Ethan, by the way, and he said they did a show recently, and someone came up and called him Grateful Nirvana.
Okay.
Does that give you an idea of what's happening?
Yeah.
So next, the next episode of Music City Metal, we'll have Battery House Electric. Really not metal, but it doesn't matter. I like them, and they're one of the great bands on Friday night. October 22nd. Mary, you just put a coupon code in up at Ticket Tailor.
I did. Right now, until September 30th, tickets for the Friday night show, which is October 22nd, are buy one, get one free. So grab your friend or multiple friends. typically you can fit four people in a car, so that's two people pay.
That's
two people
it.
Don't. Take so your regular, girls out. Stop talking over me.
Regular price of tickets are $25. Buy one, get one, and it's... Well, you got a bad look on your face looking away. Just roll with it.
That's how I do when we sit here. I never look at you.
I think we need to for visual cues. Buy one, get one free. Fishproductions.rocks. Get your tickets. And all the good announcements are coming next week. What else you got?
I think we have another good announcement.
Oh, yeah.
I did get confirmation from Daddy's Dogs. Mm. They're going to be there Friday as well.
Nice.
Oh. Stay hungry.
Stay hungry, Daddy's Dogs on Friday. Wasn't there another one coming on Friday as well?
Oh, back. Oh my gosh, how could I forget? Yes, I have to confirm with the owner, but Bag Lady Chips and Fry Company.
Gosh, their food is so good.
Delish. I believe they're from Chicago.
Yeah.
And I think the name Bag Lady is like just the way it used to come, like in a paper bag. I think he has some of his mom's or his grandmother's recipes. I don't know the whole story, I'm not going to lie, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Anything homemade food that came from mom or grandma can't be bad, but his stuff was good.
So they're there on Friday, and then on Saturday we got some homemade food that helps out the homeless sanctuary, homeless refuge here in Tennessee. That's on Saturday, aside from all the cool other stuff, music, and we're real excited. We're at the 30-day mark today, 30 days from today.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
From September 22nd. what else we got? We're going to play a tune here before we get to the interview with Rob Barrett from Cannibal Corpse.
Why do you keep asking me what else we got and then you talk?
It's just my thing, I guess. Diarrhea of the mouth.
What else we got? We have Monty Mader and the Monsters. Monsters spelled with a T. It's not a misspelling.
Monty Mader. Yeah, she's from out west or north.
Wyoming. Believe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen her and fell in love with her at an Eat Sleep Rock event.
At Kimbrough's. A few months ago.
She is our only female artist, not by choice. We thought we had another one lined up. Sadly, Down Boy just popped the clutch. Oh, no, not Down Boy.
No, the Down Squad.
Down Squad decided, hey, we're going to Wisconsin.
To open up a comic book store.
that was great. But yeah, we're going to get to Monty Mader here in a minute. What is it called? Imaginary Celebrity. Imaginary Celebrity. She's great. Just straight up. How would you describe her?
I described her, and I'm sure this is probably annoying to original artists to be compared to somebody, but I thought she was a really good blend of Sash Jordan, who is a Canadian singer-songwriter, and Joan Jett.
Yeah, that's a good mix.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got a tune by Monty Mader coming up here in just a minute, and then we're going to get to, of course, the interview. What else?
I'm a local guide on Google, if anybody cares. I can locally guide you. I got my certificate in the mail. I'm cool now. Google follows me everywhere.
You actually are pretty good at doing those reviews. Every time we go out to a restaurant, hey, want to write a review? Your reviews are popular, all that. You take great food pictures. And
sometimes I don't take a food picture because I've eaten it already.
Fish Fest, October 22nd, 23rd at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds in Lebanon, Tennessee. Come on out. This is going to be a fantastic weekend of rock and roll, metal, and lots of love from the people that put this together. We got some friends coming that are veterans in the scene that are just going to hang out with you all. And our goal is to bring awareness to suicide prevention, AFSP. P.org is going to be there. I said it. I think I did it right.
You did. Yes. Good job.
So they're going to be there and have a table there to get information, because in the last year and a half, we have heard about every day how many people have died from COVID and how many people have it and how many cases, but not a lot about the anxiety, depression, mental illness, and sadly increase in suicides due to the pandemic. So that's our other reason for doing Fish Fest.
Yes, among civilians and veterans or active duty service members. So that's, just thinking forward to that, you know, Veterans Day that's coming up. We had the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and just different things. You know, that's a whole different group of people who have a whole different level of stress. I try and remember that on days when I think my day's gone to shit, it could be a lot worse.
Right.
So trying to be able to give back, you know, to the community in that way with support and love and music and food, you know, that's, I feel like that's the least I could do.
Yeah. You're correct. We're excited. So let's do some Monty Mater, and then we're gonna go from Monty Mater to Cannibal Corpse.
Hey, you know.
A transition.
That's okay.
I love it. Rob Bez is going to be jamming a couple of songs with a local band here, and we have some cool surprises to announce. But that's going to be on the episode coming up. We have Battery House Electric Company and also Of Serpents, Clarksville-based band. They're going to be in the studio here next week. So all these episodes will be coming out. And stay tuned for a major announcement on the next episode of where to have a chance to win a VIP meet and greet with Rob Barrett and a full weekend pass. Since you didn't put your signature on the dotted line, you're going to have to come back and listen to the next episode. And we'll tell you how you have a chance to win tickets for the entire weekend, plus a private meet and greet. He is doing a public meet and greet, okay? So the public meet and greet is for everybody that buys a ticket to Fish Fest on Saturday or weekend pass. Everyone's going to have a chance to say hello, take a picture. But there is a private one that is going to be a little different. You're going to have some more time, a little bit more intimate, and in a private setting after the show's over.
And you'll be able to bring any memorabilia that you have if you'd like something signed.
Yeah, that's it. So bring your Dean guitars. All right, here we go. Mary Fish, good work this week.
You
Let's
too.
Let's play some Monty Mater. And then coming up next, we have Rob Barrett. Monty Mater, and the song is...
Imaginary Celebrity.
Imaginary Celebrity from Monty Mater. You can come out and see her Friday night at Fish Fest.
Bad boy.
We are back, Music City Metal. That was my segment with Mary Fish. Now, on the blower, all the way from Tampa, Florida, Rob Barrett of Cannibal Corpse. Brother, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, man, it's cool to be on here, Larry. It's almost like I already know you because we're from the same neighborhood almost.
Well, one of the things is we have a common friend, Mike Shear. We have to mention this guy because it was him that put you and I in touch with each other. But Mike, I how can you not love that guy? Anyone that knows him just loves him to death. He's great. He's been an awesome friend, and we've gotten really close the last few years that I lived in Buffalo. How long you known Mike Shear?
Yeah, like I actually didn't meet him until I moved to Florida because he moved down to Lauderdale several years before I did. When I moved down in 89, I think he got down there in like 86, 87 maybe. And then I met him through his cousin Phil, who's in Malevolent Creation, and you know, that whole camp moved down there around 87. So that's how long I've known Mike. And yeah, like he's just like a big brother to me, you know. He's just a really dear friend. And I'm glad that he mentioned my name for you to do this shindig.
Oh, me too. We went back home to Buffalo. It was the first time Mary and I had been back in a year and a half for obvious reasons. And one of the first things we do after we say hi to the family is we go to Rockin' Buffalo. Love that place. I miss it. Miss it terribly. There isn't much besides my family, friends, and the Rockin' Buffalo that I miss about Buffalo personally. It's a great place. I love Mike, man. Mary, him, and I went out to lunch. He took us out to the waterfront.
Yeah.
Some of the new stuff that's going on there that we wish that they would have done in the 80s that they're finally doing. And just hung out for the afternoon. And he just, you know what, Mike is, he ball busts me basically every time we're together lately, especially for these visits. And it just makes my wife, Mary, laugh nonstop. She was laughing so hard through lunch because everything I said, he had this comeback that would just, you know how Mike is, you know?
And, yeah, he has a very quick.
Oh my God,
he's real quick with the comeback. You know, man. Like you'll never get one over on Mikey.
No, never. And you know, anyway, that's just what makes him so lovable. But anyway, so you left Buffalo in 87. Did what part of town did you grow up in? I was in Orchard Park.
I moved in 89.
You said that.
Mike probably moved down there, you know, 87-ish or maybe even sooner. But, 89, I moved down to Lauderdale with some friends to start doing the band thing. And I grew up in Riverside, which is, you know, pretty much right next to North Buffalo. And, we all the bands used to practice there on Kenmore and Delaware at Absolute Storage. That's how I met Paul when he was in Tyrant Sin. We might as well mention that you went to the same high school as Paul did.
Yeah. So I haven't seen him since then, but we took Metal Shop together of all things. You know what I mean? That was back when, you know, you would make screwdrivers and make Mac Bulldogs and all that, and the cool thing about Metal Shop, it was right next door to the smoking lounge at Orchard Park High School, which we had that there. And Paul's always smelled like Marlboros and leather, and I loved him. He was a year ahead of me, and I was really bummed when he graduated because I always hung around with whoever was a little bit older than me. And I'll just a little story. He had a Kill 'Em All shirt on, and believe it or not, I had never. This is 86 now, the year he graduated, in that last semester. And I'm like, you know, I've never heard Metallica. And he's like, what? You know, and I'm like, well, it's just, you know, I grew up.
He was probably like, come out to my car.
That's exactly what he did. He took me. He was driving to school. He's like, come on, man, you got to come. What? And, we were just sitting in his car smoking and the Four Horsemen, you know, it was a cool moment. But, Paul, I think we joked around a little bit when we were on one of our phone calls about his senior picture there. Did you ever show that to him?
Yes, I did show it to him when, like the next time I seen him, I was like, hey, check this out. And he was like, whoa, look at that mustache. Like, he had just started growing in his mustache, and he still like had the earring in the left ear hanging down. You know how like a lot of dudes would just wear one earring on the left side?
Yeah, the left side was the metal. I had an M16. Yeah. That's what I hung from my ear, was a big M16.
How ironic that you guys like met in metal shop.
I know,
crap.
Right? I know. And then he took off. So did you guys go to Florida together, or was it separate because
actually,
he had Alex
like,
Webster
I wasn't,
too, you know? Alex from
yeah
West
like
Seneca.
I was I didn't even start jamming with Cannibal until 1993, so like we met each other around 86, though. Like, I think that's the year that we met. It was either 85 or 86, and we were in different bands, but we were all practicing in the same building there, Absolute Storage on Delaware and Kenmore.
Jeez.
So I would always like go over to their room when he was in Tyrant Sin and, you know, hang out and do what teenage dudes do, you know, like play metal, listen to metal, smoke some stuff.
<You know? laughs> That's it.
Yeah, we just ended up, you know, really becoming good friends. It was just the metal scene at the time. All the bands were there hanging out together and doing shows at the River Rock or wherever else.
Were you, did you ever go to the Continental on Franklin Street?
Yep, the Continental was, my uncle actually was a bouncer there, so I was able to get in, you know, before
It was... It was easy to get in. Oh, I was going at 16. Yeah, as soon as I was old enough to get out on my own and drove and had my own job to pay, you know, I kind of broke away from the shelteredness that I did have to that point. And that was one of the first places I went to. Gosh, the stories. I had a Continental shirt on.
Yeah, it was kind of like a free for all kind of place where like anybody was welcome. They didn't really.
Oh yeah,
ID
all freaks.
Too much.
That's where the freaks hung out, pretty much.
Yeah, because upstairs was the goth area, and then downstairs the bands were playing, you know. On a random weekend night, you could see the Goo Goo Dolls playing in there, you know. Johnny, the guitar player, he used to work there. He was, like, bar back in there for years. I remember he used to come around and grab our empty drinks and shit.
Well, I had on a Continental t-shirt at a local festival, a local thing here in town Friday night. And this guy walks up to me. He's like, the Continental in Buffalo? Are you serious? I'm from Buffalo. And here it was a doctor who lives in Hawaii, who was driving from like Utah to North Carolina and stopped in Tennessee. And he's, you know, we started going off about Buffalo in the 80s.
Talk
and
about random
hit.
Meeting right there.
Right? Yeah, I know. That's why I brought up the Continental, just to, you know, throw that in there just as a background thing. Okay, so.
That's such a crazy scenario.
Oh,
like,
isn't it?
He
I know.
He sees you in Tennessee, but he lives in Hawaii now.
Yeah, and we ended up like, you know, he was a doctor. He was a retired pediatrician who was just there for the music. He wasn't a doctor that night. And man, we the four of us, him and his girlfriend and my wife and I, we had a blast for like 3 hours throwing some beers back, him hearing local. Actually, one of the bands that played is one of the Fish Fest bands. So that's kind of why we were there. We're scoping these young bands out that we're hosting and just want to see how they're. But anyway, that was the purpose of it. And so, yeah, how random is that? Just like, you know, Buffalo people stick together. And he said that when he moved from Buffalo to Hawaii, he loved the weather, obviously, but he was like culture shock because of what he was used to in South Buffalo. He was a South Buffalo Irish Catholic here. You're a Riverside guy. I was an OP guy, you know, but the camaraderie there, I don't know, there's just something about going to a Bills game, Sabres game, and the local flavor there, bars.
Yeah,
the food,
you got to get used to the food being different, you know, I noticed that immediately, like, wow, where can I get a decent pizza and wings down here? Well, you can't.
Well, I thought, actually, Tampa, I've been there a few times, and that's quite a party town. How did you end up from Lauderdale to Tampa with the, was it Cannibal Corpse, or, because
I would have to rewind back to 89 where, Cannibal had formed in December 88. So they were already a band for like a year before I moved. But, when I moved down to Lauderdale, it was mainly because all the Malevolent guys had moved down there and they kept telling us how killer it was. And the scene was great down there. There were a lot of great heavy bands down there, and it was easy to get shows at multiple different venues. So,
like the Brass Mug,
you know,
the Brass Mug's one.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about Lauderdale still right now. So we moved down to Lauderdale in '89. Then I started a band called Solstice with a couple guys down in Miami, and then I ended up moving down there. And I lived in Miami for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years, between 1990 and 92. And then the drummer in Solstice, Alex Marquez, and myself, we joined Malevolent Creation, and we recorded on their second album, Retribution. And then we did a U.S. tour with them, and then, you know, we just decided to move back to Miami and do the Solstice band again. But then I ended up getting a call from Alex Webster in, it was like probably December 92, somewhere around there. And he asked me to come up and do some tours with Cannibal because they had just gotten rid of their original guitar player. So I ended up flying back up to Buffalo, learned their set in like 2 weeks for a U.S. tour. And then did a couple of tours in Europe. And then, it turned into a situation where they basically said, well, if you want to stay with us, you're welcome to join. So I ended up staying in the band with them, even though I wasn't expecting to when I flew up to, fill in with them. But then eventually being up in Buffalo with them and, being in the band, we're writing new material. And then we come down to Morris Sound in Tampa. That's where they were recording all their albums. And that's the only place that I had recorded with the other bands too. So it got to the point where I was like, hey, what do you guys think about, moving down to Florida? We're recording in Tampa anyway. And they were all cool with it. They were like, yeah, let's get out of here and move down to Tampa. So it was like a band decision, but I was definitely the one that was bringing up the issue the most.
Wow, that's a fantastic story. So now you fast forward how many years? What is that, 29 years since?
Yeah, we moved to Tampa, I think it was 94, okay. 95, something like that.
A little bit less than that, but 15 Cannibal Corpse.
I've been living in Tampa longer than I lived in Buffalo at this point.
Oh, wow. I think I'm getting to the point where I've been out of Buffalo longer than I've lived there as well. I pretty much, out of the last 52 years of my life, I think I've lived there 19 total. So, but yeah. I love going to visit, but that's it. So here we are.
Yeah, exactly. I always enjoy visiting, and it's cool. But then, after about a week, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
and it's no offense to Buffalo. I mean, that's where I grew up. I love the place. But
yeah,
once you get your
fill,
just,
right?
It's a cool place to visit. Yeah.
Which is when you go back. So what's the first restaurant you hit when you get home, when you get to Buffalo? Is there one that you have to have?
My go-to is Bocce. Yeah, Bocce Club Pizza.
Bocce. So
yeah, it's either that or Lenovo.
Lenovo,
actually,
yeah.
Yeah, Lenova is, that's the go-to if you want pizza and wings. If I just want wings, I'll do Duff's.
Whoa, okay, Duff's. And, I Duff's was like a special occasion. I guess I'm a Southtown guy. I was Blaisdell Pizza, and if I was out, it was Lenova. But it's
and
funny
plus
you mentioned
it all
Lenova.
Depends on how you, it all depends on how you like your wings, if you like them hot or mild or crispy. You know, like everybody's got their own little preferences. I just prefer Duff's, you know.
Well, there's only about three or four places, truthfully, in Nashville that I enjoy going to, and they're all bars. You know, they just don't get it here. Last, at this festival, I was just telling you about two nights ago where I met the Continental guy. There was a food truck that was doing, like, New York-style pizza, and it was pretty unique. And I guess they're, like, the hit of Bonnaroo Festival, and it's because nobody, there aren't many, you know, it's all chains here. No one does the hand-tossed stuff like what we can go do 2-3 in the morning at 7 days a week up there by 9:30. Right. You know what I mean? But anyway,
well, you know, they say that a lot of it has to do with the water, you know, like that's what makes the dough better up there, just because the water.
Well, this company that would make sense. Lake Erie is Lake Erie down here. From like,
yeah, just something about the water, I guess, makes for better pizza dough, apparently.
Oh, okay. So that's a new one, but I believe it. I mean, that makes sense here. The water,
yeah, because I've heard stories about guys that actually grew up there that open up pizzerias down south here, and they'll actually like get the water shipped from up there.
No kidding. Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's a secret there, I like, because. My wife and I were just complaining, like, my God, if there was a Lenova in Nashville and did it the way they did it, and as long, like, till 3-4 in the morning, I mean, this town, just like for food past 10 o'clock, you're stuck with two things, Waffle House and Taco Bell. It sucks. It really does suck. And I don't know.
Yeah,
Tampa's,
I mean,
a little
you
better.
You could probably make a killing if you had a late night pizzeria.
Yeah.
Nashville,
How many drunk nights out down in Allentown did you have at the little joint there down by Brick Bar? It was open 24 hours a day. What was it called? Like a Greek place. Apollo's? Was it Apollo's?
Panos?
Jeez. Yeah, 3 in the morning, you know, after a night at the Old Pink.
I think it was called Panos. I know there was one on Elmwood, like down near Home of the Hits off of Amherst.
Okay, yeah, that was down. But see, there was a gazillion. That's the bottom line. There was a gazillion 24-hour.
I know
joints.
The place you're talking about. I'm pretty sure it was a Panos. It might have been called something else. Then there was always like Jim's Steakout too.
Yeah, of course. Or just getting a ribeye sandwich at the Old Pink. Right? Did you ever do that? The steaks?
I don't think I would trust the food at the Pink Flamingo. I don't know, but there's some weird shit going on in there.
All right. Well, it's enough about Buffalo. Let's talk about two things. We're going to talk
right.
about fish. We could go on all night, though. That's what happened on Friday, Rob. That's all we did was talk about Buffalo all night, and we were both happy because, you know, just here we are in the middle of the country. He's out in Hawaii, and we were probably at the same bar at the same time. We're within a year of each other in age, and we're talking about, you know.
We've never met in person, but we're talking to each other like we haven't talked to each other in years.
And I think it's because of the Buffalo thing. It's got to be. There's
well,
something
of course.
To it, right?
I mean, that's just an automatic connection, you know? Like, yeah. Whenever I run into people that I've never met that are from Buffalo, it's just like an automatic, like, you know, they're friendly to you.
So let's dive in and talk about music. Last March, Cannibal Corpse released its 15th album, I believe. Am I correct in that? 15 albums.
Yes. Violence Unimagined, it's called. And yeah, it got released last March.
And as usual, the front cover terrifies me.
Well,
mission accomplished. Exactly. That, I believe, when you go look up old stories about Cannibal Corpse, it seemed like, you know, that's what defined them. Okay, your music is about violence. I really, me personally, this approach that you guys took to Violence Unimagined in the violence music, violent music genre, it was different. It was different than past albums. And hopefully after 15 albums, a band wants to evolve a little bit. But what was different for you? I know Inhumane Harvest was one of your own lyrics, right? I know you and Paul and everybody kind of shares lyrics and writing in the band, but that was one that you wrote, correct? Inhumane Harvest?
Yeah, that's correct.
What was different for you doing this than, let's say, mid-90s Cannibal Corpse?
Well, I'd say, you know, like when I first joined the band, I wasn't writing lyrics because we had another singer that was writing all the lyrics back then. But as soon as we got George Corb Grinder into the band as the singer, like everybody else started writing lyrics because George doesn't write lyrics. So we all started pitching in and writing lyrics for all the songs. And, you know, I guess what will make it different this time around is just touching on different subjects. That's what we have to do after so many years and, you know, so many songs. It could be challenging to try and have a fresh approach on certain lyrical content. So yeah, we're always just trying to find different angles on certain scenarios that we just always want to keep the story dark and, you know, just about darker subjects that sometimes most people don't want to talk about.
Right. So,
but yeah, Inhumane Harvest talks about like this illegal organ trade, like through the black market. Like you could buy a kidney or a liver or something, you know, like illegally through the dark web or whatever. And there's just some evil shit going on, you know, like
right.
Probably not too far from us right now.
Exactly. And it's, I mean, I guess, you know, I've listened to talk radio that would do 2-3 hours on this subject of, you know, what goes on and how, where it came from and kind of for the elite. And here, you know, you guys are a band taking an artistic approach of talking about reality. There's always the pigeonhole of, oh, wow, this is, he's singing about this subject? What, why? Well, I don't know. Did you ever hear the study of that an Australian company did a few years ago? I think it was like 2018, in that metalheads have less depression and less mental health issues. And they're trying to figure out why. And I think you and I could explain why, because we've been around it for more than half our lives at this point in that scene, right? I mean, they get in the pit, you get your aggressions out, the music is an artistic approach to talking about dark subjects in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you glorify it, right?
We've been desensitized to where like certain things won't traumatize you as bad as, you know, I don't know, some people that don't even want to think about certain things because it grosses them out. Like it could be a desensitizing factor possibly.
Yeah, no, you're right. Who knows? But it was an interesting study, and I was talking about it with a psychologist, and he finds it really interesting. And, you know, the metalhead is always like, you know, the words counterculture and, you know, the things that got the attention, the Ozzy stunt in the 80s and the trial of Judas Priest and all these things. But the truth of the matter is those songs weren't about what reflected the action. You know, Ozzy's singing about addiction and suicide solution and, you know, booze addiction, mm-hmm. you know, and it wasn't being an advocate for it. Doesn't mean you guys are advocate for violence. You're just talking about real things and man's inhumanity to man, basically. I feel like,
yeah,
I'm arguing for you in court. It's not what we're talking about, but you know, it's just, yeah.
Our approach to the lyrics is, you know, we want to try and make the lyrics fit the kind of vibe that the music is putting off. And it's usually, I wouldn't say evil, you know, we're not like we're not a satanic band. We try not to talk about religion in any way, really. But, you know, politics and religion is not our thing, you know? Like, I know a lot of hardcore bands are big on politics, even a lot of metal bands. But we just like to talk about horrific stuff. It's like a horror movie put to music.
There you go. That's simply put. And well put. Yeah, and well like, put. And very, in the, yeah.
In the early days, it was a lot more, you know, just fantasy, like fictional gore with a lot of zombie stuff going on. But over the years, it just evolved into, you know, talking about like real life crimes and serial killers and, you know, just trying to touch on all these different dark subjects instead of just talking about zombies all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe how commercial zombies are now. And like back when this band started, it was like totally like unheard of.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now it's commonplace because of the video game and the TV, you know, exactly. It's different. So it becomes more of, I don't know what it becomes, but it took the horror part out of zombies. It's like fun to just blow them
up. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's why we had to evolve from that. You know, right. I mean, when the band first started, it was, you know, heavily into that concept. But, you know, after the years kind of like normalized the whole zombie thing, it's like, oh, it's not shocking anymore. So we just had to move on to other stuff.
Well, I like it. It's normally when I would listen into Cannibal Corpse, it would be in a mix. Like when I listen to Pink Floyd, I'll put on, oh, I'm going to listen to this album. And when I put on Cannibal Corpse, it was mixed because it was such intense music. Me personally, and this isn't a bad judgment, I could only take it in small doses, but it was great. I've only seen you guys live once at Darien Lake. And I'm looking forward to actually meeting you. And you did a show in Vegas last week, right? I know he said we were going to talk about it.
Well, it was a couple weekends ago now, yeah.
2 weekends ago, yeah. We were supposed to record. And you're like, oh, prepping for Vegas, doing a couple nights. And I'm like, I just wait till after. Then we got something to talk about. So was this the first show since the plandemic here?
Yeah, actually it was. The last show we did before that was the day before Thanksgiving, November 2019. It was the end of a U.S. tour that we did with Perdition Temple, a band from here in Tampa, and Die Hard is Murder from Australia.
Yes.
And that was the last show, day before Thanksgiving, and then our plan was to just stay home and write a new record. That was the last tour for that album cycle. And then this whole Corona thing started up and, you know, fortunately we were still able to record the record, but we were planning on releasing it, you know, like in November and start touring again by last November. And that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah. Nothing really happened.
So we basically waited to release the album until last March instead of November before it. Yeah, like we were already wanting to be touring for like a year by now almost.
Because, yeah, you guys were always pretty regularly on tour, at least, you know, every 15 to 18 months. You guys were consistently,
yeah,
right?
We've through the whole entire history of Cannibal Corpse, this was the longest time that the band's ever taken between shows was right now.
Wow.
And
it was not your choice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That says a
lot.
It was
out of our control and we just had to ride the wave and we're still riding the wave waiting to be able to do another tour. Like we were going to try and do one within a month or two, but there's just so much traffic going on. Everybody wants to get out again. And it's just too much traffic, so we just decided to wait until next year, and hopefully we could get out there again shortly after the new year. Yeah, I just feel like we have to start working again, otherwise we're going to have to find another way of making a living, you know, so it's either we start touring again, like, soon, or we need to find something else to do. Like, right. We've basically been taking the way that we make a living away from us, basically.
Right.
And, yeah, it's terrible. Like, a lot of other people are still able to work their jobs, but we're not, just because, you know, I guess too many people are gathering together to see us do our work.
Exactly.
Even though, you know, a bunch of people could still go, you know, into an office building. What's the difference, you know? Like, why can't we do a show?
Or go
to a bunch of people getting together, going to work.
Or going to Costco, like, walking around Home Depot, Costco, and Sam's Club buying.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just,
yeah, don't get me started.
I think that... Yeah, we've been halted from being able to do our jobs just because it's listed under entertainment. It's non-essential.
Well, I can tell you this.
To the fans, it's very essential.
I'm excited about coming here just to see the scene here, even if it's for a day. I appreciate it very much. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. It'll be pretty fun to be able to, I mean, I'll obviously be jamming a couple songs, but it's not like I'm going there like with the band to play a show. It's more of a hangout kind of vibe, which is
definitely
more laid back. And yeah, it'll be cool. Like I'll show up and, you know, do a meet and greet for anybody that wants anything signed, and you know, take pictures or whatever, and then check out some of the local talent, and you know, jam a song or two with some of these guys. That should be pretty fun.
Fish Fest, October 22nd, 23rd, fishproductions.rocks. You can go look at tickets and come out and see us at the Wilson County Fair. Rob Baird, thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to just throwing a couple cold ones back and maybe a small Jamaican holiday or something after everything's over. Huh?
All right. Well, thank you, Larry. And looking forward to rolling down up there to Nashville and hanging out for a little bit.
Brother Rob, take care, man. I wish you the best and look forward to seeing you here in October.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you October 23rd at the 3rd Annual Fish Fest. Be there.